John chapter 8, if you would, we're going to read verses 37 through 47. John chapter 8, verse number 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, then ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I have proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Brother Kramer, would you ask God to bless the preaching, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, what we just read in verses 37 through 47 is a small snapshot of this exchange that is going on between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. They're going back and forth and back and forth in this debate and this argument between them, as typically religious people like to do. Have you ever been into one of those, you know? You get around that religious crowd, man, and all they want to do is yeah, but, and just go back and forth to kind of see who's right and who's not. And the astounding thing to me is that these guys are doing this to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Kind of a bizarre thing, man. They know that He's been working miracles. They know that He's done nothing wrong. They have sought to find fault with Him, and they have failed so far in finding any fault at all. And instead of kind of coming to the point where they slow down just a little bit and say, you know what? Something about you ain't normal. Something about you's a lot different. Why don't you teach us? Instead, they get into this back and forth altercation with Jesus Christ, and they even begin to make accusations against Him. Look at verse 41. Then said they unto Him, we be not born of fornication. You know what they just said? Do you realize what they just called His mother? They're accusing Jesus Christ of being a product of sin. Now wait a minute. Jesus Christ became flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was born of a woman. He came here because you and I are born sold under sin. The difference between Jesus Christ and us is that Jesus Christ's Father was not a sinful man like you and I. His Father was from heaven. You say, well, that's just a miracle. That's only 50% a miracle. There's nothing abnormal about somebody being born from a woman, right? Can everybody in the room agree on that one thing? Okay, I hope so. If not, there's some aliens among us. So, why is that a big deal to believe? Because it's perfectly normal for a man to be born of a woman. The hard part to believe that's a little bit of a stretch here that brings us into the miracle realm is the fact that he had no human father. But God Almighty inspired her womb and said, all right, I'm going to put my son in there. I'm going to put my seed in there so he can come and redeem those sinful people from their sin. He can walk the perfect life they can't walk. He can die a perfect sacrifice and bear the burden of their sin upon himself. He can carry their cross. He can take their sin to hell, rise again the third day, and ever live to make intercession for sinners. That was God Almighty's plan. Yeah, that's a bit of a mind stretcher, but can I say this? It's nowhere near as big of a mind stretcher as a Big Bang. Because that is 100% a miracle. So you crazy people of faith who believe the Bible and believe in Jesus and you're so far out in left field, you're unscientific and all the rest of the garbage that gets thrown at you by the devil and by the world system and by the world mindsets, I just want to encourage you to realize, wait a minute, you don't have as much faith and believing in Jesus Christ as they have in believing in a Big Bang. It takes more faith to believe what they believe than it takes to believe what you believe. It's just a different kind of faith because yours is spiritual. It's a gift from God that you received. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God brought you the faith through the Word of God and then you either rejected that faith or accepted that faith. And if you accepted that faith, you're saved. So the Lord's having a back and forth here, and the first thing they're doing is they're trying to make personal accusations against Him because they want to reject what it is He's saying. You will find in this world when somebody wants to reject what you stand for, what you believe, what they're going to do is they're going to find personal accusations to make against you personally. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, man. And you know what? I've come to a point now with God's help, it doesn't bother me all that much. Because what I realize when people begin attacking me personally, and I examine what they're saying, I look back at the situation, I think through the circumstances, and I say, no, they're just wicked as hell. Yes, sir. I realize it's not me that's the issue. It's that they don't like what I stand for. That's the issue. The Pharisees did not like what Jesus Christ stood for. They resented the fact that He was going about and doing good. They resented the fact that He was able to work miracles they couldn't work. They resented the fact that there was nothing about Jesus Christ that they could actually find to make accusation of. They resented the fact that all the common men, hear me, all the common men, I'm talking about the sinful crowd. I'm talking about the fornicators. I'm talking about the woman taken in adultery. I'm talking about the impotent man that was laying at that pool that couldn't get up and walk on his own. I'm talking about the divorcees. I'm talking about the tattooed crowd. I'm talking about the pierced crowd. I'm talking about all the ones where the religious crew didn't want. Jesus Christ cared about them. And they flocked to Him like you wouldn't believe. They go out of their way to get to hear Him preach. And that religious crowd, they didn't appreciate that about Jesus Christ. He's going back and forth with these yahoos and God, Jesus Christ, God, either way, it applies. Brings an accusation against them. They accuse Him, but they accuse Him falsely. Look at verse 23. He accuses them accurately. He said unto them, ye are from beneath. I'm from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. You know what He told them? I know where you're from. Can I say this morning, without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know where you're from? Where your daddy's from. Beneath. All you got in the news media, you know what they're from? I could care less. I'm talking about Fox 2, you conservative Bible thumping, redneck American, you know, you're not rednecks, but you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about, we got some people going, yeah, I am. I'm talking about Fox News. I'm talking about all of them. You know what they're of? This world. You know what's on that news media? World, 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 world. Everything about this world all the time. Because this is what they love. It's all they got. Yeah, give them a break, man. It's all they got. The news media makes me so mad. Why? What do you expect them to do? Hey, Jesus Christ's kingdom's not of the United States of America. I'm going to get into some of that tonight. I think tonight I'm going to give you, I got two different messages. I think tonight I'm going to give you what I was going to give you last Wednesday night because it's a setup for the chapter. So we're going through Job, but I got to back up a little bit and I got to give you some stuff to help get us ready for chapter 20. And I think you're going to find it interesting. Because the problem nowadays with Christians is they've got their minds so on the world, and they're so obsessed with the world, that they're misjudging everything. I'm going to show you tonight, the Bible talks to you and I about looking for Jesus Christ and looking for the rapture. And I'm going to show you from the Bible what it means a pre-tribulation rapture and how you and I know we're getting out of here before the tribulation comes. I'm going to show you from the Bible that you're supposed to be looking for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you from the Bible this baloney about dating the rapture and saying he's going to come at this time is baloney. Jesus Christ could have come back in Acts chapter 7. That means he's waiting for absolutely nothing. Get over that baloney. Stop looking at this world and the circumstances in this world. Stop pulling your numerology and start looking for Jesus Christ to come back. You ain't Dr. Ruffman. I'm preaching tonight's message already. I'm sick of these guys that think they're the next Dr. Ruffman trying to make their stamp on the world when they're still wet behind the stinking ears. You're looking for Jesus Christ. That's what you're looking for. He said, you're of this world, so you're obsessed with this world. Look at verse number 44. That's an accurate accusation Jesus Christ made. He says in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So three things about the devil. He is a murderer from the beginning. Ye shall not surely die. He lied. Did she die the day she ate the apple? We say apple. It wasn't an apple. But I'm just saying that because everybody thinks it's an apple. I'm correcting myself. She didn't die physically. She died spiritually. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You ain't dead, are you? Nope. God must have lied. Liar. She died spiritually. You see how good Lucifer is, man? He's still that good today. And it says he's a murderer from the beginning and he abode not in the truth. Three marks of being a child of the devil. You're a murderer. Oh, I ain't never killed nobody. Yes, you did. Every last one of you and your pastor included is a murderer. Who'd you kill? Jesus Christ. It was my sins he died for. I am to be held accountable for his death. You wonder why I serve him like obsessively? And by the grace of God, I'll get more obsessive as I get older. Just more mature about it maybe, but more obsessive. Because I killed him and he loved me anyways. Murderer from the beginning. You might not have never killed a person, but have you ever ruined somebody's reputation? Because you were jealous, envious, and competitive toward them? That's pretty bad. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver and gold. And you go ahead and you spread gossip and rumor and lies about somebody that you heard, even if you weren't the one that started it, when you share it and it was misinformation, you just fell prey to the devil. You just spread his story to ruin somebody else's reputation. I know preachers have been put out of the ministry by rumors and lies and innuendos. You know what the Pharisees did right there? Because their father, the devil, inspired them when they looked at Jesus. They said, we be not born of fornication. What are you saying about my mom? Well, I didn't say that. Well, yes, you did. Well, no, I didn't. I said, we be not born of fornication. That's exactly what you said. Well, I didn't say that. You said something in the right context, in the right way, in the right setting, to lead their minds to think a conclusion you wanted them to think that was a bad conclusion, you just lied. The devil is the master of innuendo, the master of suggestion, the master of just enough truth to make it palatable, and you weave a lie in there. He's a murderer, he's a liar, and you know what he didn't want? He did not want to abide in the truth. And you know what his children don't want? His children, the devil's children, ye are of your father, the devil, Jesus Christ said. You know what the devil's children don't want? They don't want truth. Period. It doesn't matter. If that truth is going to save their soul and set them free from their sin, they don't want it. That's a mark of the devil.
The devil does not care how you accept the lie. It can be atheism, fine. Agnosticism, fine. Hinduism, fine. Islam, fine. Humanism. Humanism is the religion of America today. No problem. Luciferianism, fine. Who's worshiping the devil? Anybody that follows, believes, and worships a lie. Roman Catholicism, fine. Mormonism, fine. JW, fine. The devil doesn't care which lie you believe. He'll cook up a new one to get whoever he can get. If you haven't fallen for all the rest of them, he'll have more cults coming. Many shall come in my name, Jesus Christ said. He'll bring more up every day of the week. As long as you'll go for it, the devil's okay with it because he wants your soul. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief, and he'll stop at nothing to get his agenda done. And those people that are murderers, liars, and don't want truth are children of the devil. Now here's the problem. I want you to notice down in verse number 30. Jesus Christ, in his back and forth between the Pharisees and himself, stops for just a minute. And in verses 30 through 32, he inserts something here to his disciples. He says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Got it? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then he goes right back and begins to continue going back and forth with the Pharisees. So I found it really interesting that in the middle of this long dialogue back and forth between the Pharisees and Jesus, and Jesus trying to tell them, your father's not God. He's my father. He's not your father. You're of your father, the devil. And here's the marks. Here's the fruits of proof that your father is the devil. Here they are. And this is what you do. You seek to kill me. You're a murderer. You're a liar. You don't want the truth. You reject what Abraham says. While you claim Abraham's your father, you reject what Abraham said about me. You reject what Moses said about me. You reject the scriptures when I'm showing you from the scriptures that I'm the fulfillment of the scriptures because you're of your father, the devil. As he's going back and forth with the Pharisees this way, he stops for a second and he says, disciples. He stopped for a second. He says, Bible Believers Church, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wait a minute. Why that insertion right there? Stuck here in the midst of, preceding and right after, all this stuff about the devil, back and forth between who is your father and who isn't. Can I tell you something? I had a daddy. He was my natural birth daddy. You know what his name was? Lucifer. And there came a point in my life where me and him broke fellowship. You see this flesh you're looking at? It has the DNA of Michael Richard Reagan Sr. in it. Because he's my daddy. Right? Long as I live, he's my dad. You see this flesh you're looking at? It's dying. No, not because I have a disease I'm not telling you about or whatever. It's just 42 now. It's just time is passing, and that means that the clock is eventually going to run out. Things begin that are inevitable begin to just start happening. You just kind of like can't do anything about it. It's just there. Doctor told me, she said, you know, your only problem, by the way, I never told you the results of my heart check. She said, looks like the hypertrophy that the CAT scan saw is gone. I said, I know, because I read that if it's from exercise, when you detrain, it'll go away. She said, yeah. The moral of the story is, same thing she said last time. You're 42, not 22. Dial it back a little bit, psycho. Begin to realize that time is not on your side anymore. She didn't say stop. So I'm not stopping. But just a little bit less. What she's saying is your wife was right. You were overtraining just a little bit. That's just life. You know why? Because I still have a father. The one that I was born under he's the devil, but see, me and him have broke fellowship because I got adopted. I got a new birth in my spirit. He's not the father of that spirit. You understand that, don't you? The devil does not have my soul. My soul is 100% God's. Even if I break fellowship with Almighty God, God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. The devil can't have my soul back. Do you understand that? It is God's forever. I'm eternally secure, and I know that He's such a great Father. You can't fathom my Heavenly Father unless you know Him. You can't fathom Him. If you're not trying to walk with Him, you can't fathom Him. He's so great. No matter what I do, He'll never leave. He understands what it means to be a father. I'm trying to learn from Him so I can be a halfway decent father. But you see, there's something else going on right now in my body. Paul said, it's in our members. It's that body that you were born in before your salvation to sinful parents. And he said, he's from beneath. That's where you were going before you got saved. So here's the thing. Your former dad, if you're saved, ain't too happy about you and your relationship with your new father. He don't like it. So what he wants to do is give you destruction of your flesh. Paul said, give them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. The devil still wants to get you messed up. He wants to get you messed up, first of all, and I'm going to move fast. I say that all the time, but sometimes I'm getting it, so we're making progress. He wants to get you messed up by keeping you from believing. In verse number 24, he said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. First of all, he doesn't want you to believe on Jesus Christ. Well, if you're saved, he already lost that battle. Amen? I believed on Him. I know who I believed in and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know that I got saved. For that poor old Johnny Cash, man, my heart breaks if I ever hear his whiny voice. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. You've heard it. Don't act like you're all, we don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I was there when Jesus saved my soul. The very moment He forgave me, made me whole. You know why he's singing, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know? Because everybody else looking at his life couldn't tell whether he was or not. And he's singing an in-your-face song saying, yeah, I did get saved. Yeah, I was there when it happened. I ought to know. I know you can't tell, but I ought to know. That's what the devil wants for you. He wants to get your life so jacked up that everybody else looking at you can't see Jesus at all, but inside you. That's why the man was so sick. That's why the man struggled all the time. That's why the man was so heartbroken. He's living this life over here when more than likely, God only knows for sure, but my guess is he was actually born again and living miserable because the devil wanted his life. Listen, if the devil can't keep you from actually believing on Jesus Christ for salvation, then he'll do everything he can to keep you from believing on what he said for your spiritual growth. Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The devil does not want you to hear the word of God. The devil wants at all costs to stop Bible preaching in your life. Can I just say it? I've heard this since I was a kid, and there's a lot of truth to it. First thing that'll happen is you'll start dropping off on Wednesday night. Because you're too busy. You're losing interest. By the way, there's people that drive an hour to be here. What's your excuse? That's convicting, ain't it? Next thing you know, you start dropping off on Sunday night. Next thing you know, it's just every other Sunday morning. What's the devil trying to do? I'm not saying this to guilt you or pressure you or be all in your business if you miss once in a while. I've never been that way, and I'm not starting now. But it's all right to put the shoe on the other foot once in a while, right? To have a little balance. Listen, what's he trying to do? He's trying to keep you from hearing that book. And if I'd rather you come faithfully on Sunday morning the rest of your life and stick with it than for you to be like, oh, there's too much pressure to come back, I just quit. But I'm saying this, don't be going backwards from where you're at. If anything, let's step forward. Amen? Don't go backwards from where you're at. Why? Because the devil will begin to want to pressure you a little bit and block you a little bit and get you so busy with this world. Why? Because he's of this world. That's what he wants. And if he can allure your flesh away from the things of God, away from the preaching of the Word of God, and get you distracted by everything else in the world, all the ball games and all the everything else going on, hey, it's kind of a bit of a blessing that COVID happened, because all those things that you were so addicted to that were more important to you than God and the house of God, they're all gone. Well, we can't go to church because of COVID. I got the governor order, screenshotted it, saved it to my photos. I can't remember the order 202-106, 9,467,000. It's ridiculous, but I got the order. The latest order that just went out that said no more than 10 people in a gathering. It says this will not be enforced against churches. To paraphrase, the leaders, the attenders will not be penalized for coming to church. What excuse do you got left? Wear a mask. Don't shake hands. That is fine. You're not going to offend anybody around here. And if anybody says a word to you about it, you tell me and I will kindly and pastorally, and I mean that, explain to them that we need to respect people's different opinions about this thing because it ain't about a virus. It ain't about a virus. I don't care. Is it real or imagined? I don't care. I'm sorry. I feel very bad for anybody who has lost family members or been sick. I'm not saying I don't care about that. I'm just saying I'm not even getting into the issue about virus or no virus. I'm not even going to be distracted by it. It is what it is. We're dealing with it. Let's respect one another and make it possible for everybody that wants to be here to be here. That's my attitude, my heart, my approach. And I guarantee you one thing. If I was 85 years old or 90 years old and I wanted to be in church and I had underlying health issues, I would want a mask. I would say, please understand I'm not shaking any hands. And if you young whippersnappers didn't like it or wanted to criticize me, I wouldn't lose one second of sleep over that. My arthritis and everything else keeping me up might keep me from sleeping, but it ain't going to be because you're on my mind. Amen! Thank you. I appreciate the support. That's good preaching. I appreciate it. I know. He wants to keep you from understanding that you need to be in that book. He wants to keep you from hearing what Almighty God would have to say. Can I just tell you something real quick for the sake of time? I'm just going to flip over there. Don't turn with me if you would. I'm actually making good progress. I've skipped over half of my notes already. We'll be out of here by 2. Easy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read this to you. Here's the old preacher's instruction to the young preacher. We'll get into some of this other stuff probably tonight. It talks about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, right? That's the end times. Boy, that lying. Boy, that deceiving and being deceived. That old Lucifer. But here in verse number 14, he says, but the contrast to what's going on in the world. Continue thou. He says, listen, boy. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what he's telling that young preacher? He's saying, listen, boy, they're going to get wicked out there, but here's what you do when it gets close to the end. Here's what you do when evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. Continue in what you've learned and what you've been assured of. Listen, as the pastor of this church, by the grace of God, I do not have an agenda or a vendetta to try to find something in the Bible that nobody's found yet. I don't care what big name preacher is recommending young preachers to go find something Dr. Ruckman never found. That is horrible, horrible advice. That comes right out of the pit of hell where Lucifer said, I will promote me. Dr. Ruckman's dead and I'm the next one. You ain't got what it takes. Amen. That's good preaching. I got what it takes to be Michael Richard Reagan Jr. That's about all I got. I'm sorry. Some people don't like that he yells too much and stomps his foot. I'm like that all the time. Pray for my wife and children. Amen. All I got is what God gave me, man. And I'm not so old that I can't learn anything new. I'm trying like crazy to learn. I want to learn more Bible. But I'm studying those that God has showed me, He put in my life, that He has led me to, that have taught me the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit has confirmed, that Scripture with Scripture has proven, and I'm going to continue in what I was taught and what I know to be truth, because it's the Word of God and I'm not deviating from it, even if it means I can find something to put my mark on the world. I'm warning you, and I'm not trying to bash on everybody. Please get the spirit that I'm saying this in, and I've been praying about this to say it in the right spirit. I'm warning you. There's a lot of guys out there that believe the Bible, but sometimes they get a little off. They're just old enough to, you know, like a dog, stop squatting and start raising their leg. So they're peeing on every fire hydrant they can to make their mark in the world. And listen, in all fairness to them, more than likely they're good guys and will grow out of it. They have to have a little pain in their life first. They have to see some things happen. They have to live long enough to realize the legend is only in their own mind and it's not reality. And that they go through in the ministry the same process everybody else goes through with God in it. That they're going to suffer their own setbacks. I'm not saying bash them and run them off. I'm just saying when they start coming up with new doctrine, back away. Okay, bud. Nice little boy. Still wet behind the ears, man. I'm not that immature anymore. I ain't Mr. Mature. I'm just saying I got a hold of what I'm supposed to get a hold of. God put it in my guts. I've assured it. I've learned it. And I'm going to help you by God blessing me and enabling me. I'm going to help you. And more than being a preacher, as I get older, I want to be a minister. They're two different things. Well, the only way for you to stick it out is for you to be of the Word of God. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Christian, can you hear God speaking to you? Does your heart burn when you hear Bible preaching? When's the last time you opened that book and said, God, please help me, please, I need to hear from you? And then your personal devotions at your home, when you opened your Bible, God spoke to you. If He hasn't, you now have a goal for this week.
Sitting on the porch, goofing around, kind of in one of those moods, you know. And I was having a good day, feeling good. I was reading my Bible. Puppy's playing in front of me. I can't watch her and read my Bible. So if I can, I sit out on the back porch so she can do her thing. And whatever happens, happens. And I got to jump up every 2 seconds. And I'm reading my Bible. And I finish. I'm not even thinking. I already know what comes next. But I finish 2 Kings. I look down. You know what comes next? Chronicles. Pulled my hat off my head because my hair wasn't combed. I threw it down at the ground in front of Anastasia. I said, oh, Chronicles! Lord, I needed you to talk to me in Chronicles! She started laughing. That was the goal, was to get her to laugh. My point is, you read your Bible because you got to read your Bible, and it's not always the most inspirational material. But those are God's words. So you know what I did this week? I read every word in Chronicles. You know why? Because even if I got nothing out of it, I wanted my father. Not my old father, my new father. I wanted him to see that his boy does what he says because he said it, because an order is an order. And I'm just a soldier. That's all I am. And when I get an order from the commander-in-chief, I do what he says, whether I die or not. Because the boss said it, so I read it. Now, I felt just like you. You heard my little testimony. Chronicles? Gracie started laughing. She's like, yeah, I know. I could use some Psalms right now, and I ain't in the Psalms. But when God says it, you and I ought to adhere to it. Why? Because God said it, and I want to be of God. I want my Father to speak to me. More than anything in the world, I want my Father to speak to me. Making big decisions. A lot of big decisions. I need to hear from Him. And it ain't because I ain't leaving here. Relax. Those of you that are getting excited, just lose all your joy. And those of you that might be like, oh no, preacher's making big decisions, what's going on? Relax. I ain't going nowhere. I'm where I'm supposed to be. But there's a lot of things, decisions to be made that are heavy on me. And I've got to hear from Him. You understand that? I'll never forget. Forgive my, I don't know what the word is, a little bit of retrospect or emotions back on Monday, I believe it was the 15th, if memory's correct, the 15th year since Brother Lynch passed away. Man, I wish I'd have known what I had when I was there. I was only there for a brief period of time, and I sure wish I'd have known what I had. But one thing that I knew that got a hold of me there was there had been something I was longing for that I'd not gotten anywhere else. And when I got there, and that Bible was preached by a man who believed it and knew why he believed it, he could defend it, he was a soldier, he was a good man. And something in me, in my gut, in my chest, I can't explain it, would just burn and turn while he was preaching. I wouldn't think about food. I wouldn't think about nothing else. I'd be locked in. I'd be taking notes. I'd be listening. Something burning in me. And I remember that man saying this. He said, "The Bible will make a rugged individual out of you." It's the first preacher I'd ever run into that wasn't trying to make me fit the mold of what he expected me to be. He was just giving me the Bible and letting me develop. I had no idea what I had. I'll never forget, I'd only been married a couple of months to Miss Tracy, and we lived in a little one-bedroom cabin in Kneeboro, North Carolina. Only thing that was there that even would make you think there was a township or town or city or whatever it is, it wasn't a city, but whatever it was, Kneeboro, was that there was a post office. That was all. You went into Kneeboro and out of Kneeboro, and all you saw was the United States Postal Office. Bizarre thing, man. We were in the base of the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, just a little ways up the road. We could take a left and do up a dirt road and be all the way away up in the mountains. 200 feet from Lake James. That little cabin that we lived in out front, there was posts in the ground to get up to the porch, you know, because you could walk underneath the porch and stand up straight. But when you went to the back door, I mean, it wasn't 600 square feet. When you went to the back door, you touched the gutter like that, my head had almost hit. Taller people would do that to come in the back door of that cabin. It was just a perfect little honeymoon cabin we lived in for over a year. And I'll never forget when Brother Lynch said, "Hey, man, me and a bunch of the guys, we're getting a van. We're going down to Jacksonville, Florida. We're going to Bible Believers Baptist Church. I want you to come. Having a jubilee, having a meeting down there. I want you to come to it." And I'm like, bunch of guys from North Carolina in a van for a few hours for a preaching meeting, or my wife. Been married a couple months. It's like, "Y'all have a great time. I'll be right here." Jim got mad at me because I didn't go. I remember him getting mad and getting frustrated with me because I didn't go. I had no idea what the Lord... See what I said a little bit ago about knowing of whom thou hast learned them? And how the Lord, I mean, I mentioned the name of the church, you know who I'm talking about, how the Lord, through circumstances that I could have never set up, has given me a second chance, really, that's how I see it. Amen. Brought me back to the men that God said, "These are the guys that I want you to learn from, this is the doctrine you're to learn, these are the men that will teach you how to become a pastor, you little punk, you little egotistical, obsessed with preaching, but don't understand anything about the needs of people, and the hearts of people, and trying to help people. Those are the men God had to train me." And you know what they've never tried to do? They've never tried to turn me into or change the things about me that they may not agree with. They've never come in here, as my current mentor's analogy is, and walked around my church or my house straightening my pictures. "Oh, that one's off. Oh, look at that." No, they put that book in me and they taught me to love my Bible. And they taught me to go to my Bible so that I could hear from my Heavenly Father and that I could get the instructions I needed from Him, so that when they're dead and gone, I'm not out in left field somewhere wishing I had somebody to call. I can get on my knees and get a hold of my Father. Be a people of the book. The devil will try to get you to stop believing your Bible. That's the first thing he'll do to you. I got two more and we'll go. The second thing he wants to do to you is he wants to keep you from understanding God. Look at verse 27. "They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." You know what the devil didn't want them to do? He didn't want them to understand where Jesus Christ came from. Well, you know, don't you? I don't have to spend a whole lot of time on that, do I? Jesus Christ came from the Father. If he created you, if he created the dirt ball you're living on, if he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, created the oxygen that goes into your lungs to keep you alive, how fearfully and wonderfully we're made? Holy smokes, man. The stuff the human body does and doesn't do, and D-dimer levels, like, I mean, whoever knew that, and now they can test this stuff, and half the time, they don't even understand everything that there is to understand. You get it? Yes, sir. He made it all. if he's who he said he is, don't you think it might be a little bit on the smart side for some of us to try to understand him? You know what the Bible says in Proverbs? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. That I may know him, Paul said, my life verse, Philippians 3:10, and the fellowship of his suffering. Why? I want to get to know him. I want to walk with him. I want to understand him. I need to know him. Do you understand that? I got to know what he's doing in this world. Let me just give you a little bit from tonight. I'll just pull it forward this morning just for a quick second. Listen, what God's doing in this world is not dealing with nations on a national level. So whether or not President Trump gets back in November has nothing to do with the agenda of God at all. Now, most Bible-believing Baptist churches, what I just said, will just put their pastors into a tizzy and they'll have five messages prepared for the next 5 weeks to wear their people out with. Constitution, the United States of America. I just listened to one, boy, it's good, from Brian Donovan back before Obama got voted in. You really want to get mad? He said, I hate the Buster Bubble. I can't even mimic his voice. It's just, I wouldn't even try. I hate the Buster Bubble. But America is not a Christian nation and never was. And then he goes and he gives you facts about some of the things and the persecution that was going on at the founding of this nation. So these people said, it was almost like if you didn't know, if he didn't say before that something about Obama, you would think he was preaching right now to today. That's what I call a man that's been in that book and has the spirit of prophecy according to studying that book, because he was calling out today that many years ago. You know what he's telling you? Listen, God ain't working in the kingdoms of this world right now. They're Lucifers. Don't you know your Bible? That's why I don't pressure you. You better get out and vote in November. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Relax, man. Satan said he gives them to whosoever he wants. Does my vote count? If the devil wants it. Yeah, I know. Some of you look like your head's smoking right now. Your ears are like, gears are kind of grinding. Think and read your Bible. Don't overreact to me. Think it through a little bit. He said, I give them to whomsoever I will, right? You know what, to God, you want understanding? You know what, God, the devil doesn't want you to get this. God is dealing with individuals right now. That's the day we're in. God deals with individuals, not nations. His judgment's coming. You gotta know your Bible. We've been talking about it in Job. The hand of Lucifer and the hand of God are so close sometimes you can't tell the difference. Yeah, judgment's coming. Yeah, God sends judgment. Of course. But God in His working is dealing today with your heart. God's interested in individuals in this dispensation. You need to understand your Father. The devil doesn't want you to understand your Father. He doesn't want you to understand what he's doing in the world, where he came from. I mean, you can see it. We don't have the time, but in verse 51 through 58, Jesus Christ is trying to tell them, listen, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He's trying to explain to them what he's doing in this world right now, and they don't get it. Why? Because they're of their father, the devil. They can't wrap their minds around what Jesus Christ is doing. I'm telling you, I understand what he's doing. That's arrogant. No, hang on. I understand what he's doing. You know why? Because I could tell you, but I won't, exactly what he's trying to teach me right now. Exactly what he's working on right now. Exactly the rough edges he's knocking off of Michael Richard Reagan Jr. He's knocking rough edges off me, and I don't like it, and I'm not having fun, but I appreciate it because he's my father and he loves me. And I want to understand him. The devil don't want me to understand him. He don't want me to understand him. My last point will go. You know what he wants to keep you from? The devil wants to keep you from believing on Jesus Christ and believing his book. The devil wants to keep you from understanding your Father. And the devil wants to keep you then, if he can't keep you from believing it, and he can't keep you from understanding, he wants to keep you from accepting the truth. Watch this. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what the hardest truth to accept is? And I have a bunch of stuff to say, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to wrap it up with this. You know what the hardest truth to accept is? It's the truth about me. I have no problem accepting the truth when it's about you. I love accepting the truth when it's about my enemies. But I do not like accepting the truth when it cuts me. I will never forget. I can look back in my life, and it hasn't been long, but it's like Jacob, few and evil. I can look back at my life and I can see turning points where bad things, I mean, bad things were coming, and God helped me. One of those particular points in my life is before I actually left the Bible college I was in and went to start all over again at Brother Lintz's Institute. Before I left, I was in the process of making that decision, and he called me and said, "Hey man, I heard you done some roofing." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, we're building an addition on my house." He said, "We got to roof it. Would you come help us roof it? We'll roof the whole thing." I said, "Yeah, sure." So I drove over there, and he was probably doing it just to be nice to me, just to kind of get me in, give me a chance, spend some time with me. And I was from the big Bible college, man. I had a green double-breasted suit. Had a big old Bible. It was just, you know, showing off when you carried it. Had my Greek 3x5 cards with the hole punched in it, a big old three-inch clip binder clip thing, you know, because you got to memorize your vocabulary. I mean, I was the preacher boy, man. And I remember getting over there, and I'm up on the roof, and, man, his guys showed up to work. They're in their jeans. They're in the T-shirts. Now, we're in the mountains in North Carolina. I'm not condoning this, and neither did Brother Lentz, but you understand where you're at. I'm in the mountains in North Carolina. A couple of them old boys were out in the parking lot. And my mind was literally swimming because here's this man preaching with such power, and he is allowing smokers in his church. Now, it's not okay to smoke. It can be a bad testimony. You need to pray to get the victory over it. But we got a couple here that have never split our church. They've never been nothing but a blessing to me, but we've had some long-tongued old ladies who didn't smoke, drink, or chew that have just about split the thing. So you tell me who's a bigger devil. And I'm looking around, and man, they're up there goofing around, and they're joking around. It's just the guys on the roof, and there was nothing vulgar or wicked or inappropriate. I was just coming from the ultra standards, ultra Bible school crowd, you know, the Pharisees, that we all dress a certain way or you got the plague. And here I am with a man, and a real man, like legit. Like he get off work early in the morning and go to the gym and work out with some of the lost guys from work. He was in his 50s. He's working out with the young guys from work lifting weights, and he looked like it. And he could whoop you, and he would. He was a real man. And then young men were attracted to him. They were not, you know what sense I'm saying that. Nowadays, you got to be real careful because people are so stinking filthy. Young men gravitated to that because he was a leader. And so here he is, we're up on the roof, and I finally stopped at one point, and I looked at Jim, and I said, "Man, you guys are carnal." And I'll never forget that day because God taught me something. Jim jumped up in like a half squat position with his legs wide. He goes, "Everybody wait!" He's looking, he's real mischievous. He's looking around, all the guys stop, they look at him. He said, "No more joking, no more laughing, nobody have a good time. Mikey Reagan says we're carnal." And everybody started laughing. And I had that nail gun in my hand. It's terrible, man. God forgive me. I'd never think something like this today. But back in that day, this isn't an act for me. I was born this way. It's just the first instinct, the first reaction to everything. I had another, and I could see myself. You know, I was really upset. I was really embarrassed. And I was shingling, man, I was just, bang, 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 you know, and my brain was going. And I started thinking, like, you are an arrogant little punk, aren't you? You do believe a bunch of stuff that book never said. You know what the hardest thing I ever accepted in my life was? When I began to realize that my spirituality and my standards and my self-righteousness and my expectations were higher than what that Bible even demanded of people. And I had to step back and say, listen, I may have some standards and convictions, but are they Bible? Or are they personal? Have all the personal standards you want. I could care less, man. I mean, if all you women believe in wearing around the house is a muumuu because it's modest, then praise the Lord, that's great. None of my business. You know, if your husband wants you to wear a muumuu everywhere you go because there's no waste in it. You think I'm kidding? I know this stuff. There's no waste in them and they have to go all the way to the ground and no jewelry. And I don't care what you believe if that's between you and God. Because that's your business. It's between you and God. By the way, the husband should set the standard for the home, not the wife. Not being rude to you and definitely not putting the ladies down, but the husband should say, God, what do you have for us? And then, I mean, hey, if she wants to have a higher standard and they're good with that, fine. But too often times, the women run around church trying to push all the other women to live up to their standards. God ain't in that stuff. They'll run off a new girl who needs some time to grow. How much time? I don't know. As much time as it takes. As long as she's growing. They'll run her off because they don't like her. What's your problem? What is your problem? Are you that dirty in your mind? Are you that obsessed with yourself? Why can't you give them time to grow? You know what I love about this church? We keep reaching new people that don't know nothing about the King James Bible or the gospel or nothing. I love it. Amen. Give them time to grow. And you know what I'm going to give them with God's help? Bible. Not Mike Reagan standard. Bible. Because God will make a rugged individual out of you, but you know what else He'll do? He'll clean you up, man. That book will straighten you up. Before long, if you stay in that book, you won't look anything like your old father. Because that book, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you stay in that book before long, you know what will happen to you? Over time, you'll start looking more and more like your new father. You know, some of the stuff that used to appeal to me just doesn't appeal to me anymore. Because I've been doing what I've been doing for so long now. I mean, good night, I've been saved for 38 years. 37 years. I just lost my appetite. Why? Because of that book you're holding in your lap right there, brother. That's exactly why. I've fed on it when I felt like it. I've fed on it when I don't. I've fed on it when it tasted good. I've fed on it when it was bland. And I am telling you, it ain't Mike Reagan. Ain't nothing about me. There's nothing about me. I am telling you the truth, and I'm trying to make sure you understand my heart. I'm not saying I'm spiritual. I'm saying I'm so wicked, I got to feed on that thing every single day, and I got to stick it out through the ups and through the downs, through the good, through the bad, through the back steps, through steps forward. I have to stick it out because that book is what the devil wants to keep me from. That book helps me believe. That book helps me understand. And that book helps me accept the truth about me. Amen. And that is what helps me look more like my Savior and less like my old father. His problem, same problem a lot of Christians have in church. He would not accept the truth about himself. I'm done. We're not having an invitation. We're just going to pray and be dismissed. He would not accept the truth about himself. God gave him everything except the throne of God. And he said, I will ascend. I will be like. He had five I wills. When he wouldn't accept what God gave him, he fell. You know what the devil wants to do to you? Keep you from accepting what God has to say about you. If you'll accept it, you'll grow. If you reject it, you'll fall. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed this morning in a word of prayer.